Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up in the next segment, we're going to have St. John Hunt, the son of the CIA Black Op Commander E. Howard Hunt, about the assassination of JFK. 40-something years later, you want an eyewitness? You want somebody commanding the trigger op? You're going to get it. I mean, this is just off the charts. We've already proven it. 90%+ of the public now know, but the mainstream media still calls us grassy knoll nuts. Okay, I guess we're nuts because the world's round, and we say water's wet and birds fly, but the facts are the facts, New World Order, and your black op's been exposed. We appreciate St. John joining us. He's coming up. Roger in Missouri is a former Marine Corps veteran, a former police officer, and he was saying that he'd written letters to the editor about what's happening in our society and that he got harassed. Tell us about that, Roger.
Oh, I live in a small community close to where Rush Limbaugh is from, and the local newspaper is owned by friends of the Limbaughs. And actually, the editor in my local newspaper, I think, left because he was printing my articles. They will not print them anymore. I've sent in probably 10, and they just throw them away. But I had about 4 or 5 brushes with the law. And since I was a former police officer, I know the law, and anybody that didn't know the law would have probably went to jail, but I didn't. So they're alone now, and they started on my youngest son.
What was happening to you? I mean, when they'd pull you over, like, how would they get in your business?
Yeah, for instance, I bought my wife a new car, and they put some temporary tags on the back windshield, and we just came into town, and they pulled my wife over and said that they couldn't see this. And, of course, they checked everything out, and everything was just fine. And he started giving my wife her license back, and he looked over at me, and he said, sir, do you have an ID? And I said, yes. And he said, could I see it? And I went through the thing about probable cause, and was I acting suspicious and all that. And before I knew it, there was four police cars there, and I wasn't acting intimidated or anything. I just told them I knew my rights, that I hadn't done anything. And when I said, I will tell you my name, but I'm not going to show you anything. I don't have to carry papers yet in this country. And he said, oh, yeah, you're the one who writes all those articles to the newspaper. He said, you're a troublemaker. I said, well, you know, whatever, and they let us go. And 2 or 3 different times they pulled me over just supposedly to check my insurance or my driver's license or whatever, and they know perfectly well who I am. I went to school with the chief of police, and I know the sheriff real well.
And aren't these guys ashamed of themselves? I mean, this is how pathetic. This is not how America operates.
Correct. And I've noticed that I have your bumper stickers on all my vehicles. Says 9/11 was an inside job, and I've had 4 people say, ain't you afraid of getting shot driving around with that on there? And I can't believe that people are as afraid as they are now. They're actually afraid. I talk to a lot of people, and they agree with everything I say, but they are afraid to speak up. And
you know, I don't understand it. Whenever something scares me, I fight it, and then I get over the fear. I couldn't imagine giving in to fear.
That's me. I've sort of been a rebel all my life, and when I was involved with the Nixon White House a little bit when I was in the Marine Corps. I was there when the POWs come home. I seen McCain get off the plane. I hauled Mrs. Nixon's secretary and such, because Mr. Nixon's Western White House was right out the back gate of Camp Pendleton. And I seen quite a few things going on. I talked to a lot of the POWs. I hauled them and their families around and knew things. It wasn't kosher with Senator McCain.
You know, I'd like to have you on as a guest. Is it all right if I get your name and number, maybe have you on as a guest? You can send us, you know what, you can send us those letters to the editor, and we'll post them, my friend. Okay? I'm going to put you on hold, get your name and number. Very interesting fella. And we'll be right back with St. John Hunt, who we're honored to have as a guest. Stay with us.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfall, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high resolution, full color maps and full color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard to find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv. Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi folks, Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Calvin Pure Soaps? They're all natural and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Calvin Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Calvin Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrate for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Calvin Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
St. John Hunt is the eldest son of super spy E. Howard Hunt, a 27-year career CIA covert agent and foreign station chief, most well known as the leader director of the White House Plumbers Black Bag Team, whose botched burglary and arrest led to the impeachment and resignation of the President Richard Milhouse Nixon. And E. Howard Hunt, who passed away in January at the age of 88, was also involved in many of the CIA's most nefarious operations in Cuba and throughout Central and South America, including but not limited to the assassination of Che Guevara, assassination, and it just goes on, of people in Chile, the coup in Guatemala, the orchestration of the Bay of Pigs, and the plots to assassinate Fidel Castro. So he was a black ops master, would be my term. And I just had a chance to talk to Mr. Hunt, St. James Hunt, his oldest son during the break. I was flattered to learn that he is a listener and a reader of the website, and we're honored to have him. Last hour, we aired that 5 minutes. 15 more minutes is going to be going up on his site very, very soon. He's authorized us to play that. I want to have him back up when we do that. But it's happening in our lifetime. 43 years and some change later, you want somebody who was there, somebody who was, quote, on the bench as a commander. That's E. Howard Hunt. And that's the info we've gotten from Jim Mars and other experts. That's the info we've gotten from photographs. That's the info I got from the mistress, Madeline Duncan Brown, and the lawyer, Barr McClellan. I mean, we have it now in triplicate. We have a commander of the op. One of the commanders of the op, they always have multiple commanders. These things are always overlaid for redundancy and safety to make sure the op's carried out. We have the mistress, we have the lawyer, then we have all the circumstantial and physical evidence and the motive. It's absolutely off the charts, ladies and gentlemen. And so without further ado, I want to welcome to the airwaves St. John Hunt. The website stjohnhunt.com. We have links up on Infowars.com to his website right now, and we are honored to have him. Thank you for coming on, sir.
Well, thank you, Alex, for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
I certainly hope you get a publisher for the book you've written, because let me tell you, this is already dynamite incendiary material, but isn't it surprising that you haven't found one quite yet?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's surprising or not. You know, the media is still probably reeling from the backlash as a result of the Oliver Stone JFK movie. I think that stung and certainly opened up a lot of people's eyes. But then, of course, the pendulum swings both ways. And so I think we're still probably in the very tail end of a backlash against that. And, of course, all of the great researchers, the people who have devoted their lives to researching this this terrible tragedy, this national tragedy, the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, have been blackballed. They've been labeled as kooks, as nuts, as psychos, you know, by the right-wing media. And, you know, I think our day is come, and I think this is as close to a smoking gun as we're ever going to get.
I agree. Again, we're talking to St. John Hunt, the eldest son of E. Howard Hunt, with what he believed was a deathbed confession. He thought he was going to die 3 years ago and then gave this tape to his son, but then did die in January at the ripe old age of 88. He obviously believed he was a patriot for this country. There's so much to talk about. Your mother's there demanding more money from Nixon so you guys can defend yourselves. Her plane blows up. You've got just, you know, all these things that went on. Where do you start? I mean, where should we start?
Well, where it started for me was when I was 16 years old. My mother and my father sat me down and very calmly told me that my father, in fact, was not a State Department employee, that the certificates of commendation that he carried on his office wall at our home were, in fact, forgeries supplied to him by his true employer, which was a Central Intelligence Agency. And for me, that's when it really all began. I mean, prior to that, I was just a very confused child, living a gypsy-like existence, being dragged from one country to another. By the time I was 9 or 10, I had already lived in Tokyo, Japan. I spoke rudimentary Japanese, then I moved to South Latin America, to Montevideo, Uruguay for 4 years. I attended a French school down there, so I was pretty confused by the time I was 16. I went to live in Mexico City, Madrid, Spain, Paris, France, and finally in this country. So I was kind of the oddball at school. You know, never had any friends, never integrated into a social pattern. So when they, you know, told me, well, this is why your life is like this, it was with some, you know, some shock. I didn't really understand what the CIA was at the time, and it wasn't until 1972 when my father came home on the night of the DNC break-in, when the four-man Cuban team was caught, that really sort of, you know, the heavens opened up and the weight of the world fell on my shoulders.
Absolutely. You began talking to your father years ago about the Kennedy situation. Can you just kind of put that in short form for the listeners and then get into the actual confession and the tape and what we haven't heard, what's on the 5 minutes and what he's talking about and the 15 minutes we haven't heard?
Well, my first inclination about any speculation or any allegation that my father was involved in the John F. Kennedy assassination came after. It was during when my father was in prison for Watergate, and I was making a phone call from a phone booth, and lo and behold, on a telephone pole right next to the phone booth was a large black and white poster saying CIA killed JFK, and right below that bold lettering were three photos, two of my father and one of a of someone that looked very much like my father, although he had a frumpled hat on and was somewhat dirty in the face. And this was one of these three tramps that had been photographed in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. I tore that poster off, and I just stared at it in a state of shock and stunned disbelief. So that was really the beginning of my quest for the truth about that. Of course, my father was released from prison, moved to Guadalajara, Mexico, where he was, you know, he was out of this country and out of reach from me. Anyways, I did visit him several times over the years, but we never really got down to, you know, the nitty gritty until he summoned me down. He had been in the hospital for 19 months. He'd had two leg amputations. He'd had cancer of the jaw. He had prostate cancer. He had lupus and pleurisy, pneumonia. I mean, the list went on and on. He was very, very sick.
We're talking Darth Vader level here. He's had quite a bit of work.
Yeah, quite a bit of work. Yeah, so he summoned me down, and for all intent and purposes, it was my last visit to him, and he told me that he had information that was very important to him to give to me, and that I should do with it as I see fit. Once he was moved from the hospital bed at the hospital to his home in Miami, we had a number of occasions when there was no one else in the house where he hand wrote out four or five pages of extensive memos detailing the characters, the people that were involved in that plot to assassinate John F. Kennedy. And he told me there was probably a lot of, you know, there was talk in a lot of circles in the back rooms of the Miami and elsewhere, where there was people, you know, trying to organize a coup against President Kennedy, as he was thought to have been selling this country down and soft on communism. So that's so he gave me those memos. I returned back home to California, and about a month later, in January 2004, I go to my mailbox to pick up my mail, and there's an overnight postal packet in it from my father, and I opened it up. It was a single cassette where he was discussing the information about the John F. Kennedy assassination and pretty much supporting everything he had told me and he had written down in the handwritten memos that he had supplied to me earlier in the year.
Now, this literally is the Holy Grail. This is the sword in the stone. I mean, this is the coup de grace of the conspiracy culture of JFK. JFK is the zeitgeist. It is the core. It is what finally started killing the innocents of the American people so they could wake up to how they were being lied to. And now you have this tape. You have the handwritten notes. By the way, I hope you got I know you got copies everywhere because you're in danger,
buddy. They're disseminated everywhere.
That's smart. And I'm glad you're starting to dole this stuff out and, you know, get it out. That's a smart way to get as much attention as possible for your safety. This is key, what you're doing. Obviously, you know that, you know, better than I.
Yes, sir.
And for people to understand how big this is, Kevin Costner offered millions for this. Kevin Costner, who you've spoken with, physically visited your father in Florida and tried to get this information from him. Can you briefly tell folks that story?
Well, that's kind of a very interesting story. My father and Kevin Costner have a mutual friend, although Costner and my father had never spoken and never met. But this gentleman was a close friend of Kevin Costner's. I won't mention his name on the air in case he doesn't want to be, linked to this. But anyways, he brought Kevin Costner down. There was some deceit going on. It wasn't a deceit on Kevin Costner's part. Kevin Costner wanted to very much offer my dad a lot of money to come out with any information he might have known about JFK. At the time, nobody really knew what my dad knew because he hadn't told anybody yet. But anyways, Kevin Costner flies down and is introduced to my father by this mutual friend, and Kevin just blurts out, "So who killed JFK?" My father was in his, his jaw dropped, and he turned around and looked at his wife and said, "What did he say?"
Yeah, that was, I mean, Kevin probably would have got it if he stayed in Miami 2 weeks and got to know him, but yeah, you can't just blurt it out.
Yeah, and my father was under the impression at the time time, very innocently, that Kevin Costner was coming down to talk about doing a movie script about my father's life. So the two, you know, what my father's impression of Kevin Costner was didn't match what Kevin Costner was down there for. So the whole thing just kind of blew up in its face, and that was the end of that. Although we did contact Mr. Costner on the phone, and we did try to negotiate some kind of arrangement.
Tell you what, stay there. Let's talk about that when we get back. Maybe he'll still do the movie now. This is so exciting. We'll be right back.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. On May 2nd, 2007, spot gold 667.10 and 1 ounce gold coins can be purchased for 689.21, 348.17 for half ounce, and 173.32 for quarter ounce coins. That's 689.21, 348.17, and 173.32. There has been talk coming from the Council of Foreign Relations of forming an American Union combining Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. and erasing economic borders. Bush met with Vincent Fox, President of Mexico, Paul Martin, Prime Minister of Canada, discussing a security and prosperity partnership. The formation of a North American Union will have a great impact on the U.S. economy. Jerome R. Corsi published the document, The Plan to Replace the Dollar with the Amero. The sovereignty of the U.S. is under attack, and Corsi uncovers the secrets and lies that surround the deceit. Call for your copy today, 800-686-2237. We the people must take a stand. That's 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Government is best, which governs least. Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626. And express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
Craig Walcott, chartered financial consultant and host of the Dead Doctors Don't Lie radio program and million-dollar earner in the network marketing field since 1989. I certainly know what it takes to succeed. I also know without proper tools, your chance for significant income in the network marketing field can quickly fade. The sad truth is that 99% of the people who enter network marketing will never spend the time nor money to develop the skills they need. That's where MLM Incorporated steps in. No matter what network marketing venture you're involved in, MLM Incorporated can provide you the successful tools you need to truly succeed. A subscription to MLM Incorporated will provide you access to the 3-hour Industrial Revolution of Network Marketing Seminar, where you will learn to perform at a level you never thought possible. Radio, TV, internet, direct mail will all be at your fingertips. Weekly training calls, no additional charge. Plus so much more can't be mentioned in 60 seconds. Visit MLMIncorporated.com to hear how you can become one of the elite income earners in the network marketing field. MLMIncorporated.com, where your success is guaranteed.
StJohnHunt.com. Excellent website filled with important information. This is a short segment, long segment coming up, and then one more. Plenty of time to talk about this important story with our guest, but I want to have him back up for another hour if he'll grace us. to discuss the longer tape he's going to be releasing and to maybe even take some of your phone calls. St. John Hunt continuing. You said you were talking to Kevin Costner over the phone later, still trying to work something out with him. Absolutely. Talk about being vindicated. Kevin Costner, what, making a documentary, a movie? I mean, what was he wanting to do at the time? What was he looking for?
Well, what he was looking for, he wanted to, he's kind of in his own personal life, after he did the JFK movie for Oliver Stone, I guess he became somewhat of a conspiracy enthusiast. And when he was approached by the mutual friend I know E. Howard Hunt, maybe he has some information. It's long been speculated that he may have done this or done that, so let's try to see if we can get him to disclose some information. Kevin was very enthusiastic about it. What he wanted to do was he wanted to film a documentary. He wanted to have my father disclose whatever information. Well, first he wanted to find out if my father had any information. So what my father devised was a code key, a code and a key to give Mr. Costner the relevant information without naming the names. So my father, being a pretty smart and intellectually man, he developed this code that listed that talked about the big event, which was the Kennedy assassination. That was what it was referred to during the planning stages of it in Miami, he told me. But he listed out a chain of command and a timeline series of events and things that took place along with all the most important players in the plot. Well, we provided this information to Kevin Costner, and he said, well, this is dynamite stuff. We have to go with this. But you have to understand at the same time that as my father was recovering from his illnesses, he's handled by what I call his own sort of Miami mafia. And these are family members and attorneys whose job, at least they feel, is to what they would, in their opinion, is protect my father. But from my point of view, it's to repress and suppress my father. Of course, my father is still under a secrecy agreement with the Central Intelligence Agency. And so now that his book has come out, American Spy, you know, that had to go through all kinds of scrutiny levels within the agency in order to be published. So by the time it was realized by my father's second family, by his wife, and by the attorneys that there was going to be some serious disclosure going on, some new relevant information about JFK, they just put the lid on and they clamped it down tight. So that project never got off the ground.
You know, I hate to bring up your mother, but you talk about it in the Rolling Stone interview, and if you could elaborate, that would be very informative. Because the way it's described in the article is, you know, you guys needed money to live. You've been hung out to dry. She's going back to get more money from Nixon. And on her way back, the plane mysteriously has a problem. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I can. From what I know, it's documented that my father was in jail at the time. And, my mother had just returned from a summer vacation in Europe with the other children. So she was in a position, and of her own free will, I might add, she was the sort of quote-unquote bag lady for the Watergate. Now, her responsibility was to make demands of the Nixon White House, to press for more funds for the Cuban families. There was the families of the four Cubans, the McCord family and the Liddy family and our family. So there was a lot of mouths to feed. There was a lot of attorney bills to pay. And she also was in charge of giving funds, what you call them, bribes to people to keep quiet. So she was traveling around the country a lot. She was meeting with people from the Nixon White House in dark garages late at night, picking up keys that were placed underneath park benches, and then going to Greyhound bus depots in the middle of the night, dark parking lots, parked cars, picking up undeclared slush fund money from the community to reelect the president, and traveling around and paying people off for their silence, as well as the attorneys to continue the defending of all the Cubans and the other members who had been arrested. So he got on a plane to take some money to Chicago. There's several theories about what she was doing with that money.
Tell you what, St. John, stay there. Let's come back and talk about that and talk about the book you're working on and what your father told you and maybe some elaboration on the tape that has been released. We really appreciate your time. Ladies and gentlemen, this incredible interview will continue.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know there's a secret group that wants the government to spend itself into bankruptcy? Did you know that current President Bush has the largest percentage of increase in spending than any Democrat has ever had? 38% higher than Bill Clinton's highest budget. We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening and more about Bible prophecy by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Just call for a one-year free subscription to Newswatch Magazine. It's free. Call now while operators are standing by to take your call.
Need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border back with the Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts, now to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central. Formidable Alex Jones says, "This is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central. Also, be sure to visit our Tuesday guest host, Dr. Carl Sanders' website, trumpetsmen.org.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again,
1-877-928-8822. Making history here today, and I know he's going further than he has in some previous interviews, and I want to get into the central area of the assassination here in a moment, but St. John Hunt is our guest. We're going to have him back up again in the near future. We just can't do this in an hour with 44 minutes of airtime. St. John, please continue where we left off with your mother flying to Chicago and what happened.
Well, okay, she was on a flight to Chicago from Washington D.C., and she was carrying a substantial amount of cash, between $10,000 and $100,000. It's never been accurately determined. Also, she was carrying with her information that would cause the Nixon White House to to be pressured into continuing paying the what they thought what they considered was the hush money, and that information was canceled checks from a Mexican bank in the account of Bernard Barker that came directly from the Committee to Reelect the President, or what's been called CREEP. Anyways, this information was to serve to blow the Nixon White House out of the water if they didn't continue paying off the hush money. So the plane flies into Chicago, is rerouted and diverted to a different airport, and within moments of the crash, there was 50 FBI and DIA agents on the ground cordoning the crash off, telling the police and fire department to stand down until they were finished sorting through the wreckage. They were probably looking for that suitcase, or at least making sure it had been destroyed. The FBI illegally came into the tower control room and confiscated all the tapes that had been recorded between that airplane and the tower. The very next day, December 9th, 1972, Nixon's top White House aide, Eagle Bud Crow Jr., was appointed Undersecretary of Transportation, which supervised the National Transportation Safety Board and the Federal Aviation Administration, the two agencies that investigate the plane crash. December 19th, a White House Deputy Assistant to Nixon and Undersecretary to the Cabinet, Alexander Butterfield, was appointed as a new head of the FAA. Later on, Dwight L. Chapin was appointed a top executive of United Airlines. So there was a huge scrambling to get this plane crash, sealed up and
I've seen the sums that were being paid to the dutiful servants of Nixon. They weren't that big. People needed this for attorneys and to live, and the men were going to prison and keeping their mouths shut. Why didn't those bastards take care of their people?
No, because those bastards were of a very thin makeup. They didn't want to follow through. I mean, my father told me that in the covert ops world, if you're taken prisoner, if you die in the service of your country, your family is well taken care of. That's just an unwritten rule that everybody understands. And he just assumed, naively, I guess, that these people would follow the same line of reasoning. But Nixon was really willing to pay. You can hear him on the transcript saying, what is it going to take to keep Hunt quiet? $1 million? We could come up with that, he says. You know, we can get that kind of money.
We can get more, yeah.
We can get more, yeah. I mean, he had a huge war chest.
Yeah, he had Texas oil money, unlimited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, he was advised by by his staff, that we've got to cut loose of this. You know, we can't just keep paying these people.
Which a lot of evidence now shows that Kissinger the whole time was really setting Nixon up.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, let's just blow her out of the air and let's just not do, I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
He would have never gone down if they had just taken care of everybody.
Right. Well, I can't speculate on what would have happened, but we certainly know what did happen.
Unbelievable treachery. Now, there's so many facets to this. Can you just recap basically what's on the tape? You have 15 minutes more. Maybe give us a hint of what's on that. And then any other areas that are safe for you to talk about, anything that hasn't been revealed or that's in those written notes that you have. And I mean, obviously, I want the story because I want to expose these people so they don't keep getting away with it. But also, you're a smart guy for your safety. Is there anything else in those pages that people need to know about?
Well, there's a lot of information on those pages, and there's additional information on the rest of the tape. Well, what we have up on my website, stjohnhunt.com, is a 4.5-minute edited version, most of the editing revolves around the fact that my father was fairly sick when he made that. So there's a lot of heavy breathing, a lot of pausing, a lot of fumbling with the recorder controls. But he made that tape.
You know what, though? I think it'll be 10 times more powerful if you put it out unedited. I understand why you edited it, but I think people hearing the rattling and the rest of it's important.
Yeah, he's got that death rattle in his voice, and he's fumbling with the record button. But the tape is interesting in its entirety, and we're going to try to get that up as soon as we can. The memos that have never been seen before that he wrote me outline the chain of command, starting with LBJ. He drew a box around LBJ's name and then linked that to Cord Meyer. And then to the right, he linked that to David Phillips, and then below Phillips was a line going to William Harvey, and then from Harvey there was a spidering out to Antonio Veciana, Frank Sturgis, David Morales, and Lucien Sarti. The second page of the handwritten memos is a full document, you know, handwritten all the way from the top to the bottom, outlining information about each of those individuals. And he wrote, over the period of a week, he wrote about four pages of memos to me, which he entrusted to me. And of course, when the lid slammed down on him by his attorney and his second family, he asked for all that stuff back. And unbeknownst to him, I made copies of it and kept my copies and gave him the originals back. And I'm certainly so glad that I did that.
Absolutely. And then the media was balking at your memos, but on top of that, you've got the tape, which is clearly E. Howard Hunt.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt.
Now, expanding on this, it's not just that there's the Dallas Morning News and Dallas Time Herald photos of all these tramps being picked up, being released from the police station, all of this. There's also the fact that you do have Frank Sturgis right next to what's clearly your father. There's three different photos. And then another known CIA guy. I mean, when you've got them lined up together and you do side by sides, I mean, the Sturgis thing, this is a dead ringer.
I mean,
there's no debating. And then that's what the police and others said and the eyewitnesses said.
Yeah, no, I agree. As my father's son, I just, every time I look at that comparison photo between the tramps and my father, it's just, he just looks, it looks like my father to me. Now, I can't say definitively if it is him or not. But
then you add that with Sturgis, who's closer in the photos. I mean, it's Sturgis.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's a pretty handsome, swashbuckling looking guy, and it's Frank Sturgis. He looks like somebody out of a movie, you know, of the 50s and what a CIA commando would look like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that certainly does look like Frank. I've met Frank before, you know, I can I can say that my gut feeling that certainly looks like Frank too. Of course, you know, in more recent times, people have come forward to say that they were the tramps. But I think we have at least two people for every tramp now that are claiming to be the tramps.
Yeah, you got a lot of. I mean, anytime there's a murder, you're going to have four or five people show up saying they did it or complete moonbats.
Right.
But expanding on that line. Now, what I'd always gotten from all the experts and people I'd interviewed living here in Texas and talking to people who've even been out shooting ranges and things and mistresses and all the rest of it, and his lawyer, and some things that haven't even been on air, by the way, folks, that I'm not allowed to talk about. I don't even like to say but the point is, this is all dangerous stuff.
Yeah.
The point is though, the info I got is your dad was not pulling triggers. He was there kind of in a command function.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If he was directly involved like that, he was definitely not one of the shooters, because that's just not the kind of job that they would have given to a man like my father. My father had one foot in the front lines, and he had the other foot firmly in place in the suit and tie world. So he would they would have brought in someone like a Corsican gunman, a Cuban gunman, or something like that. And of course, my father did always believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was firing from the rear.
Now, Oswald, we've now got his CIA control number. We know he was in Black Ops. Do you think they just hung him out to dry as the patsy, as they do so many times?
I think so. I think Oswald was a very tragic figure. I think he was being sheep-dipped by many intelligence, by all kinds of people, for their own personal reasons and for their, as someone, that can be used as a patsy, and I think that's exactly what happened. I don't think he was really aware of what was happening. And if he did fire, that's...
They also did that with McVeigh. Now, of course, it's come out in a sealed affidavits that I've seen, because I saw it before it was sealed, and with other eyewitnesses. I mean, we have the names. It fits with everything else we knew, that they took him out of special ops. He did not wash out, folks. And then they had him, and they set him up big time, too.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably correct, yeah. Yeah, I don't know much about that story, though.
Well, I mean, it's the classic thing of the general sacrificing the troops to lure in the enemy. I mean, this is 101 military operations.
Yeah, it is. And as far as my dad's history with the agency goes, I think, you know, he was sadly hung out to dry by the agency and by the government that he so dutifully served and loved so dearly.
Now, did he tell you why he went along with the killing of JFK? I mean, did you ever ask Dad why? I mean, did he say, oh, because we thought he was a communist, or what did he say?
Well, he told me that that within the intelligence circles, it was felt that it was an imperative situation that President Kennedy not be, you know, allowed to you know, to serve in that office for any longer, because there was a lot of crucial things coming down. There was the Vietnam War. Was probably one of the main reasons. There was also the anger and the threats that Kennedy had made to splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. My father was, prior to Kennedy's administration, was really looking to become eventually the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. He had been a 27-year career person. He had been in the original OSS, which was the predecessor to the CIA. And because of Kennedy's lack of testicular fortitude, he withheld the air cover at the Bay of Pigs, and that whole thing just brought everything down.
What about the photos
for Kennedy?
Sure. We have the control documents declassified with the George H. W. Bush being in the CIA. We know he went into CIA before he became the director in the mid 70s, claiming that was his first time ever being there. We know that there are very clear two different photographs that are clearly, I mean, if they're not, it's his twin brother, George Herbert Walker Bush, in Dallas outside the book suppository, a depository building. You know, we have all that right there. Did your father ever say anything about George H.W. Bush?
No, he never discussed George H.W. Bush to me.
His support in the Bay of Pigs and with the oil company and the drilling rigs, and it named after his wife.
No, I'm not aware of those things. I don't know about that. It's interesting, though. I'd like to look into it.
Well, in the article we wrote that's up on Infowars.com today, in the guest section, was written on Monday, you can go in there and look at all. I'm sure you've seen the famous photos of what looks like your father with some of the other operatives. But then, yeah, we've got the photos there of George Herbert Walker Bush. And that's the intel I've always gotten. Are you aware that some prominent individuals talked about your father, E. Howard Hunt, being at that meeting the night before at the big oilman's house in Dallas?
No, I'm not aware of that. That's interesting. Who are these individuals?
Well, that has come out with Madeleine Duncan Brown and with Jim Mars and many others. But Madeleine Duncan Brown, of course, was his mistress.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that she has a book out. I haven't read it yet, but she supports the Lyndon Baines Johnson theory of who's responsible.
And so does his lawyer, Barr McClellan. Yeah, she died a few years ago, but I interviewed her on the radio several times. Then we also, former NSA operative Robert Galen Ross, interviewed her a few years ago on video. We have that up on PrisonPlanet.tv. I'll send you a free membership so you can watch it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Yeah,
well,
I'll definitely look into it.
Any other facets, any other areas, tidbits, pieces of information you think we should know? Again, we're talking to the son, the firstborn son of E. Howard Hunt, the legendary black op commander for the CIA.
Boy, it's such a huge story. I think, you know, overall, my father left a lot of unanswered questions with me. Our relationship was cut short by the powers that surrounded my father in the last few years of his life. And at the very end, he had to he had to submit to the wishes of those people that were immediately around him. He was, you know, very worried and concerned. He knew that his disclosures in Watergate and his infamy had led to the splintering of his first family, the death of his wife. He was also very concerned that that any new revelations that would come out, since he was still going to be alive for a few more years, would have had a dramatic negative effect on his second family, which he did not want to put them through.
Did he get angry when your mother was killed? When your mother died,
was he angry?
No, did he instantly know who was behind it?
Well, you know, he was in prison at the time. And so, you know, he was let out to go and identify the body, or he was in jail, actually, before he was sentenced. But he had never discussed it with me, and he had always just, the only time he said anything to me about it was that he thought it was just pilot error. Of course, later on in his life, at one of these deaths, or the one of these bedside confessions, I was talking to him about trying to, you know, bring my sisters into the fold again and have them forgive my father, because they held a lot of things against him. They blamed him for the death of our mother. And I said, you know, I've been talking to my sisters and trying to get them to come down and see you. And he started, the tears started welling up in his eyes, and he said, you know, Saint, I was so worried. So I was so deeply concerned that what happened to your mother, that what they did to your mother, they could have done to you children. And that caused the hair on my neck to stand up. That was the first disclosure from my father that he thought there was something else going on besides just the sheer pilot error.
Unbelievable. Serve the Dark Lords and they strike down your wife. We'll be back with a final segment with St. John Hunt. I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network as we make history.
Year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, the White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. I want you to imagine waking up one morning to find out you've been burglarized. An intruder has taken your personal possessions. Credit card numbers, social security cards, banking information, and more, all in the hands of a total stranger. What's worse is you realize he got it through your front door because you left it unlocked. Every time you walk away from your computer, leaving your internet connection on, you are virtually inviting hackers, criminals, and Big Brother to access your personal information. Put a stop to this right now with the Net7 Network Security Switch from Net7 Technologies. Turn your internet on and off with one simple switch. There's no software to load, and it's so easy to install. Right now, you can order your Net7 Security Switch from Net7 Technologies for only $39.95. For a limited time, receive free shipping with your order. Visit net7tech.com. That's net, the number 7, tech.com, and start protecting yourself today.
Here for now, tomorrow, forever gone. St. John Hunt, stjohnhunt.com is the website. I'm going to have him back up next week for a full hour to take your calls. You cannot do this in 1 hour interview. Maybe we'll even have him up for an hour and a half. Again, I appreciate your courage, sir. Everything you've said meshes with the information I've gotten over a decade plus of research and interviewing others who've researched for 30, 40 years. I think your father reprieves himself by going public at the end. And people who always want some type of deathbed confession or for one of the actual people involved to go public, here it is. With everything else, this has got to really discredit the mainstream media and the official line in the Warren Commission. Can you comment on that?
Well, I think it really does, and I think my father was very brave for coming out with this. I think he felt an obligation, even though it went against his grain to implicate his own government. I think he felt the greater need to disclose the truth, and I'm happy that he disclosed that truth to me.
Well, that was the question I was going to ask you. Why do you think they never tried to take him out? They thought they had him under their control?
Well, I think they did, and he sat quietly. He did his time in prison, and then the rest of his life he became just a kind of a regular guy. He wrote his novels one or two a year, and lived quietly, raised a new family, and basically just stayed out of the limelight. The last thing he wanted was to create a huge storm of controversy around his new life. I think he'd been shown quite severely what the government is willing to do to control aspects, and so his wife had been killed, and his family had been splintered to the far ends of the country. And he knew this was a hard ball game situation, and I think he just was very intimidated by that.
But I think the fact that he did finally go public at the end does show a lot of courage.
It does show a lot of courage.
I think a novel just about how they, I hate to say this to his son, but how they took your father, I think genuinely was a pro-American person, and to watch how they twisted him.
Yeah. Well, he was definitely handled and manipulated by people of self-serving interests, Nixon and his cronies. You know, this was a man that they knew was operating on a patriotic stand, and they just took that and they just manipulated my father.
And in your research, there's no doubt that clearly Nixon and LBJ, it's two birds of a feather. They're just two operatives for even bigger powers.
Yes, I would assume so, because the president is kind of like an empty office. And
you also told me, sure. You also told me during the break, and we're about to enter, that's why I'm hurrying, that 60 Minutes was going to do this, but passed. It took 4 weeks longer for the LA Times to do a whitewash on this. I mean, they're still scared, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they are. So I'm really thankful for your show, sir, to allow me to bring this information out, and thank God for the internet as well.
Well, I'm thankful for you, and we talked during the break. You said that you have said more here than you said anywhere else. I'm honored that that happened, and I'm also honored to find out that you were aware of my work, and I look forward to talking to you next week. And as soon as that book comes out, we want to carry it, and we want to support the work you're doing. And again, we appreciate your courage. StJohnHunt.com is the website. St. John, God bless you. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you, Alex.
Folks, don't forget we have the online video and bookstore at InfoWars.com if you want to support the work we're doing here as we try to stop this country from turning into a fascist dictatorship. Because if you think LBJ and Nixon were bad. The people running things now make them look like choir boys. So InfoWars.com, be sure and visit the site or get a membership at PrisonPlanet.tv for all that JFK coverage. God bless you all.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.